Hey everybody, you're about to listen to the 2016 Beer Machine Lock and Loaded live episode. But before you do, I want to give a shout out to the following people who this would not have happened without. Every one of you has my sincerest thank yous, and we can't explain enough the amount of gratitude we have. So without further ado, the following people, thank you so much to Miles Healy, By Tamek 2, Arky Dan, Dan VK, GM Dan, oh, what a sweetheart. Ben Farmer, James Convey of Beer Thralls, Donald Shaver, just straight Dan, Eric Meyer, Sean Clement, Baumont Dragonlord, John the Podfather Christensen, who gets an extra special shout out because he was a huge help for me all weekend. Super legit guy. D. Kelly, King of the North, Bubba Dalton, Jay Larson of Chain Attack, Patrick Maxwell, Dragon Pup, Christopher Glowacki, Joe Sepulveda. Good luck with that one. Matthew, Greg Collinson of Party Foul, Scott Kidwell, Ever Fancier Hats, John Barford, Keegan Baker, Nathan Owen, Brian Fox, Brent Grice of the Grice Clan, North of the Wall, Miles Smith, also North of the Wall, The Greatest PG in the World, Gail Martindale, David, Andy Morrison, Cheryl and Gary Moran, thanks Aunt C and Uncle G, Marianne Siebert, I love you Marianne, Stephen Roywiski, I don't know. You would think. Christy Weber, James Arthbonat, Sarah Brunn, Patricia Wilson, Joel Betty, my sister Shivana, Marissa Nystrom, Rebecca, Amelia Erickson, Adam Bartoszek, Aaron Westlake, Alex, Jill Dooley, Patrick McNichol, Melissa, Todd McKimmy, Andrew Giordano, Corinne, Eric Richards, Adrian Karen, Seth Cohen, Aaron Rice, Patrick Wheaton, Mark, Brooke, James, Kate Jones, Michael Squire, Jen Kakianis, Dion Wilson, Christopher Moy, Fats Leach, Seth Watkins, Ray and Zoe Pops, Monocroll, Andrew Thomas, Richard Koa, Aaron Bell, Timothy Brackett, Brittany Nelson, Tim Haley's, Will Burke, Andy Marzik, Billy Nichols, Paul Bartlett, Brian Hanley, Chad Garr, John Krodick, all caps, Will Hahn from Across the Pond, Danny Yitt, Shane Nowak, Mike Wick, we love you, Mike, David Robinson, Matt Clark, former Canadian pro American now, Ari Landrum, Brian Nappy, Earl Clark, love you, Earl, Benjamin Grosick, Jason White, Mark Sivak, Byron Lyles, nice to meet you, Byron, or Byron, Ryan Ratham, Joshua Kostanich, I hope I'm saying that right, Brett Adams, no, I hope I'm not saying it right, Brett Adams, Ryan Steven, Nick Will, Daniel, Roderick Ball, Ryan Tiffany, Philip Melvin, Earl England, and Jacob Tyrell. You people are amazing. You made it possible. I hope you enjoy this as much as we did.
You're listening to Beer Machine, a War Machine and Hordes podcast that talks about the Buffalo, New York meta, new releases, the hobby aspect, and a beer pairing. Beer Machine is brought to you by Buffalo War Machine, a quickly growing local meta, which you can check out at facebook.com/Buffalo War Machine. Welcome, everyone, to Beer Machine episode 42, live from Lock and Load 2016.
Woo!
We are here. I'm your host, Rich, and I'm joined by...
The other guy.
No, you're JP.
Oh, shit. JP.
And the other guy.
Adam.
And we have our favorite GM.
Dan.
And we have the Podfather.
Hello, is this Foxy Brown? I am here today with the Beer Machine crew because it is outrageous fun here at the Lock and Load.
Do you have any rare items?
Oh, we have the most rare items. Remember, we talked about that. About
Wrong podcast.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys.
So we also have sitting around the table, and we'll chime in, We have the infamous Brett Painter. No, really, infamous. We have Miles from Toronto, as he's been identifying himself.
Yeah, from Toronto.
Go Blue Jays. Go Blue Jays.
In a Mariner hat.
Yeah, yeah, in a Mariner. Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, yeah, we know you're obsessed with baseball. Bubba, you and Bubba, I know, I'll never understand.
Yeah, but Bubba's going to hear this and call for his head.
Yeah, he will.
Traitor.
All right, we also got Andrew Swedberg, who we traded a glorious pumpkin ale with a while ago. Was the chick holding the two pumpkins above her boobs. Like, it was really funny. It was fantastic, though. We also have Byron, all the way from
Wales. Like,
UK.
Yes. Outstanding.
Oh.
Another friend from across.
Go home.
Don't go home, JP. Don't
hello,
tell him this is good.
Matey.
Tell him this is bad. We also have Steve back there. We also have sculptor for Privateer Press, Doug Hamilton, and we also have Aaron sitting behind Doug, maker of wonderful weapons and all things wood.
Absolutely, that
came out
wrong.
That sounded a little bad, but just bear
with
me.
I have many wood things for Doug.
Okay.
Well, no, that's special.
Hey, can someone pass me that beer down here? Thank you. So, we're not going to do a pairing because it's live and whatever. Who cares?
We're pairing it with Mark III. Everything is
awesome.
Yes,
Mark III. Mark III.
Everything is
this
awesome.
Is, and I've never had this before. This is a brewed in Belgian beer.
As opposed to brewed in Austria, Belgian beer?
Well, no, you can have a Belgian-style beer somewhere else. You know.
Belgians.
This is Rince Cochon, probably? I don't
good
know.
Job.
8.5%.
You need me to read it?
No.
Perhaps you need the Foxy Brown to do the translation.
It can't be any worse than JP's. Belgian blonde ale, bottle fermented, re-fermented. Has a pig drinking a beer on the front, and it's a cuvée.
No, that's just a Belgian.
No, okay, I guess Belgian people look like pigs. All right.
Wow.
Well, that's racist.
That's pretty terrible, man. Why would you think that?
I'm the insulting one.
I know.
Okay. This Belgian blonde ale is best consumed chilled at 41 to 45 degrees Fahrenheit. This ale is re-fermented in the bottle, resulting in a sediment at the bottom. Poured delicately to obtain a quality foam, store upright. Yeah. JP, you hate Belgians, so you go first.
Well, it smells sour, so I'm looking forward to this.
It's not sour. It's not going to be sour.
It's not bad.
It's pretty good for Belgium.
Yeah, it is. It's not that sour, so it's not awful.
You get any of the champagne yeast in there?
A little bit.
A little
bit.
Yeah.
Not over the top though. Yeah, that's actually a better Belgian. So.
Oh yeah.
It reminds me a little bit on the. It's on its way to the Three Philosophers, I think, a little bit.
Yes, without a doubt.
Oh yeah, actually, yeah.
It's a little floral.
It kind of goes bitter at the end. But then kind of tapers off.
It's not as smooth as Three Philosophers, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. I also like that it's not quite as tart as most Belgians at the tail end.
Yeah.
True. Yes.
Very true.
Yes.
Still a Belgian.
It's no fucking MGD, but then again, you know.
I mean, MGD is MGD.
That's one of a kind.
Yeah, Crippled System is downstairs. We should have them set up next to us.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So this is good, though. I've never had it before, and if I see it, I think I'll buy it again.
Yeah,
I think my wife would like it. Yeah.
So, was this one of the ones we got at the Good Wine?
Total Wine.
That place is the beer mecca. Like,
God, that place is
that
ridiculous.
Selection you guys have is amazing.
I was convinced
that, place is amazing.
That John had driven us off a bridge into a lake and we were all dead because
it was heaven.
Yeah, absolutely.
At best, we have like half that selection back home.
Yeah,
at best,
in a good store. And
yeah.
Like so. It was funny because we're in the store and we literally kept losing each other. Like, where's Dan? Oh, he's three aisles over. Where's that?
And who suggested we go there?
I don't know. Who was it?
That was me.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. I didn't even know I was being set up there. No, you're right. You did.
Yeah.
We also had another local by the name of Steve, who sent us a message and said, no, you guys need to go there. You'll be fine. Trust me. In that store, we were kind of floating along. Like, if you ever see the Cephalix officers, how they're just kind of like.
That works good on radio when you do that with your hands.
Yeah,
I know, perfect. Right? It's quality radio.
Good descriptor.
Yeah, fantastic store. I can't say enough.
Good store, bro.
Yep.
I had to keep picking things up and putting things down and prioritizing, like, how much money can we spend here? It's got to stay. This one's going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked out really well. I think we ended up with a lot of really cool beers, and we got to drink them over the course of the weekend.
Yep. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
So, why are we here? Well, we have all the Kickstarters to thank.
Yeah, thank you.
Obviously, I'm not going to list everyone on the episode, but
this would not have happened if you guys didn't contribute, and even if you didn't, if just listening and giving us encouraging words, like I can't say enough. This is the farthest we've ever traveled for War Machine, by about 1,000 miles. So
at least
this is pretty big deal. Oh, thanks anyway, Miles. What? 1,000 miles? Oh, okay. 2,200 kilometers. Okay. Okay. There we go. All right.
That's Canadian. That's Canadian.
Yeah.
Thing.
Those so
conversion factors. What's the exchange rate on miles? Oh, not this miles, but other miles.
Har.
You invited me out for that.
I'll tell you because Rich will sit there and go 82 clicks.
Oh snap!
Yeah.
He knows his clicks.
America.
Anyway, we had quite the big event two nights ago, or last night, I'm sorry. It's kind of blending together a little.
Oh, boy.
We had the official Mark III pre-release. We got our books, we got our models, we got a whole bunch of stuff. And a nice little surprise was the whole back catalog being for sale upstairs with all the cards, the new Mark III cards, cool. Which was really cool. I finally got my Discordia and my Hypnos kits that I've been waiting on.
Great.
Enjoy.
I can't wait to see that across from me.
The white Manticore that's in the battle box I bought is going to become Disco. So it's cool.
Super sweet.
So which bag is yours? And does anyone want a Hypnos?
No, I already took it out of there. You won't find it. So leading up to this, Doug... Now, I know, obviously, security is a huge concern and all that, and I don't even know, like, I've had to, when I was in the military, in the Air Force for 10 years, and keeping a lid on secret shit is, like, impossible sometimes. It even leaked out. I told my family once before a deployment I couldn't tell them where I was going, and then the country was on the front page of the paper 2 days later, so I obviously... I'm not going to talk to you about the card spoilage stuff. It's ridiculous. But how do you go 3 years without talking to anyone outside of work?
Man, you know, it was impressive that we were able to keep it under wraps for that long.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until we actually sent information out of Privateer that there were problems.
Yeah, exactly.
But in-house, even with you know, employees coming in or going out, we never had a problem. And it is a challenge, especially because a lot of us are gamers.
Right.
And we've been dying to play the new edition. So keeping that to ourselves or trying to keep the rules straight, because I like to go hang out and play games and things like that. And you know, trying to keep abilities straight, and I'm looking on my cards for melee ranges and not finding them. It's tough, and it wasn't fun able to tell people.
I'm sure not. I mean, I'm bad enough at this game playing one edition.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
You and me both.
So just a quick question. Now, you've been working on it for 3 years. Was there one event or one triggering thing that kind of the light bulb went off at Privateer headquarters and said, you know, guys, we've been doing some erratas, but this needs a whole new take on the game? What was there a single kind of triggering event that you can remember or think of?
I can't really speak for the guys that do the development, but I can only imagine that as each book came out and more profiles were coming out, and you're trying to make each one better, and you're trying to make each one unique, and you're backing up to one of the examples I look at is like the Mage Hunter Strike Force.
Yeah.
They're really good. But they needed to be.
Did you have a design space problem at that point?
it only took 10 minutes in before that happened.
I read
by the way, the drinking
somewhere.
Game is design space, drink. Put that out there.
I'll wait for them to drink.
I'm all gone.
Adam's a terrible bartender.
So it basically, as things kind of went along and things started cropping up that this were so anomalous compared to other things that something had to happen.
Right, it really did. You just started to get so many profiles, and as you develop new ideas, and some of those older profiles just need updated or tweaked, or maybe they were too good, or they weren't good enough.
Yeah.
There just came a time where it was, you know, we were ready for making that change.
Sure.
I don't know. I can't even handle that. I mean, I've done some pretty big projects where I've worked in IT, but that's what an undertaking.
It was massive.
Oh yeah. I can't imagine what it was like, though, probably like a meeting or a memo or something, like sitting there, well, oh, yeah, here's our Monday morning staff meeting, and in someone walks and says, surprise!
Guess what we're going to do?
Yeah.
I think the original plan was to try to release it a year earlier when they first started talking about it.
Oh, really?
Because I thought I had heard that we were going to try to hit lock and load last year. Now, this is going back a couple years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was no way that was going to happen. There was just so many profiles to go over and so many changes to make and testing that needed to be done. And, you know, I tell people, I'm like, a lot of people put a lot of time into this project. And, you know, I know as a team, we're super proud of it. And if you've seen the books look great. The art is all fantastic. I mean, just it's a top-notch product.
The new art is cool.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every time it comes in, our art director, Mike, would call me over, and he's like, have you seen this yet? I'm like, no, let me see it. print it out for me. So he would literally print stuff out for me and bring it over.
So I have a question for you here. So I know you guys travel to a lot of cons, and over the course of the 3 years, have you ever gone to a con and accidentally slipped up calling out like a Mark III ruling when you're playing one of your games? Has that ever happened?
You don't have to say what it is. Don't worry about that.
Yes. There's always slips. Even just the other day, someone said something. I don't remember what it was. It was something coming up. Maybe the name of a new character, War Beast or something. And they said it. I was like, they don't know that yet. So it happens. Most of the time, people don't catch it. I know a month or two back, maybe 2 or 3 months back, I was at Mox eating lunch. Mox is one of our local game stores.
And it is a great one.
It really is.
We went there Thursday night. Holy crap.
It's a great game store. It's one of the best I've ever seen. But I'm sitting at the bar and talking to the bartender, and the bartender's telling me how he plays Crix, and he's not paying real close attention. I'm like, oh, yeah, I just did a new Battle Box caster. And I'm like, oh, God, I hope he wasn't listening. Fortunately, he didn't pay attention to what I said. Yes, it was. So it just happens all the time. There's times where at the game store I'll run into coworkers because we go up and we hang out and play games, and we'll start talking about something and just not paying attention. And we'll, hey, how's that new sculpt coming? And say the name of it, and we're like, oops.
Speaking of sculpts, did you work on the Sea King?
No, Brian Duca is the one working on the Sea Kings. He does most of our trolls.
Okay.
And there's no reason for him to ever stop doing them because he does a great job on trolls. That's,
they're phenomenal.
And it keeps such an awesome sort of consistent look and feel if you have the same artist, I imagine.
That's exactly true. And I know for Brian and I being two of the in-house guys, Brian loves doing trolls, and like I love doing Legion and Rhett, so they let us do our thing because we're comfortable doing it. We like doing it. We both like different factions, so there's no bickering over who gets what.
Yeah. Why do you like Rhett? Why would you ever
Don't even start now. I love Rhett because obviously I'm a huge Rhett fan.
It's a good question, and I can tell you why, because I prefer to sculpt organic models, and the Retribution armor is soft and organic.
Very rounded, curvy,
so that's kinda. I mean, I like the faction too, but that's actually why I like sculpting that stuff, because it's more of my wheelhouse. Gotcha. As opposed to like Fiora 3 that I just started working on. Her armor is very rigid and defined, and there's layers of it, and that's just, it's not my favorite thing to do. No. Right. I assure you she'll look fantastic, but
I'm sure.
Just not my favorite.
I missed the, there was a concept art piece, or full color art piece, I think, earlier, and I was told it could be the cover of a heavy metal album, because it looks just that metal.
Yeah, it's metal and fire going everywhere.
Yeah. Fiora 3, and wow. I mean, I don't even play Menoth, but I want.
Oh, you play against it?
Yes, I do play against it quite often. JP's not a fan when I play against it.
Well, sometimes it depends. Mark III, I'm a fan.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever shoot none of my stuff?
So, how long have you worked for Privateer now, Doug?
It's 3.5 years now. This is my fourth lock and load.
Four
lock and loads ago, I released my first Privateer model. So it's
What was the first one?
It was Aurora.
Aurora. Okay.
So literally the first model I actually ever had released to anybody anywhere was at Lock and Load 4 years ago.
Wow, okay. Cool.
Welcome to the company. Make a caster.
That's actually how it works. The first day I walked in the door, we're like, we're going to have you do this level 7 model, but have you heard of Convergence? And here's the caster you're going to work on. Like, okay. I'm like, and they're like,
no pressure.
Sink or swim.
Yeah, no pressure.
That's fantastic. I love it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, well, she's definitely a swim.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a pretty good swimmer.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
Excellent.
Also, incidental note, a fan of hockey as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We won't get into that too much, because he doesn't think it exists.
Well, he, being JP, to those who can't see.
I grew up in Florida, and I didn't even know hockey was a professional sport until I moved to Buffalo. And they're like, no, it is. So, like, really? I thought they just gave away Panthers tickets all the time.
Did you end up making it to a Sabres game yet or no?
I went to see the Panthers play the Sabres in Florida when we
that doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't, because they were free, and they were like, here, if you take them, you can have beer and food. I was like, fall for that.
Let me guess, it was half empty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't even count.
That's kind of how I made it to this podcast.
Wow!
Well done. Well done.
So, anyway, thank you so much for the work you continue to do. I know I'm excited. When I get home, I took Tuesday off. I'll be putting together the box and... Magister Helena, is that how you pronounce it?
That's how I pronounce it, yeah.
Okay. Oh, humble request to the company, a pronunciation guide.
So true. We kind of make things up as we go, and you could ask the writers how they pronounce it, but they're just writing the names, so they don't actually pronounce them out loud. So it's, yes, pronunciation guide, I agree.
Yeah. I would absolutely love it.
I just treat it the same way I treat English. I say things the way I want to, and I don't care how it's supposed
to
be.
You butcher the English language.
Trey Bucket. I
do have one quick question. I don't know if you can answer it or not. Some facts. But Helios, which is coming out eventually at some point, from a material standpoint, is that going to be another one of the hard plastic kits like we've seen, or is that not something we can
No, it's actually yet? It's a hard plastic kit. Hyperion Helios is a hard plastic kit.
Okay.
I saw sprues in the office last week.
Oh, super sweet.
I think they're not the ones that are going on the shelf, but I think what they are is the guys will assemble them in the studio.
Make sure they work.
And make sure it goes together and everything how we want it, and if that's okay, then they'll green light that, and then we hopefully will have it. In the very near future.
Very excited to try out. I've not had
yeah,
a
for
chance
me too,
to work,
because that's the first hard plastic kit I've ever worked on.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I'm
going to
need some alone time.
So I have a question about that. So I know earlier you had the seeking up in the lab.
I'm sorry for that. Sorry enough for that.
When you do the sprues, do you actually do a sizing like you do with the 3D test models? So like when you finally get the first set of sprues, do you put them all together and check the sizing for everything?
Yes, absolutely. We'll test everything before we send it over so we know what scale it's going to be at. So usually at that point, it's not really a scale thing. It's already been decided. Mm-hmm. But yes, we make sure that we know the scale going ahead of time. So we try not to run into that Black 13 thing that everybody points out.
Chibi Black 13th.
Cut and steel ain't cheap. Cool.
Thank you.
No, that's
absolutely.
That's awesome. I'm really looking forward, obviously, as a rep player, obviously, to have a hard plastic model. I have a Hyperion already that I love. I absolutely love that with Deadeye from Ossian. I'm sorry. I'm just a little excited about that.
You're a little excited in the way that this table is levitating because of your throbbing boner.
62% chance to crit. Yes, please.
I am assuming you didn't come by to see Alara 2 yet.
What?
Guys,
okay, listen, hello.
Rich, we need
to
finish
the presses.
Yeah,
hang
no,
on.
We need to finish Alara the podcast.
2? I've been sneaking in some digital shots of Alara 2 all weekend for people that come to visit me and bring me beer and food.
Well,
so the email address is menothjohn@gmail.com. What are you doing Sunday night next week?
Probably playing War Machine.
Very good.
That's amazing.
I need to see. We'll talk after. I'm interested in seeing.
You're not helping me here, Doug. Like,
don't worry about the.
You're
worry
making
about
my experience with Rich worse. No, not even just spoiling things. Having to deal with him is going to be worse and worse.
He's pissed because I'm a better player than him.
Well, not really. You have better dice.
just flip the table.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's
the Signar way.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that.
Yeah, if you guys get a chance, come by and I'll show you what LR2 is going to look like.
Oh, of course. Where will you be after this?
Back at my desk in the P3 lounge, at least for a little while.
Gotcha.
Okay. See you in a while.
He's got the back left one.
Okay.
Okay, yep.
I look just like I do right now.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Okay.
That was awesome. All right. Well, with that, we're going to take a break for like
That's the sound of my head hitting the microphone.
We're going to take a break for like 5 minutes here. We're going to rotate out guests because I want to get Adam.
Sounds good.
All schlossed on here, and we'll keep going. So I'll be right back. And we're back from the break. We have we actually kind of polished it off during the break.
Yeah, we're drinking about
yeah.
a beer we never talked about.
Gilgamesh Brewing, which is a really fun name. Mamba. ale brewed with black tea and tangerine peel.
It was really good.
It was tasty.
Yeah, it was. They're from Salem, Oregon. Hops, yeast, tangerine peel, black tea, barley.
So really? Beer with black tea and orange
but
peel.
It wasn't overpowering.
No, it comes in at 6.3%.
Nice.
That was pretty nice. It's something different. I've never had a beer with tea in it before. So
pleasant.
Yeah, we did when we had that chai one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yep. I forgot about that. And now, next up we have in front of us, Scotch-style Pike Kilt Lifter Ruby Ale. Too many names on here. Family-owned, the Pike Seattle Brewing Company.
Yeah, we're heading there later on.
Yes.
For food and
this
food
comes and beverages. In
and mistakes.
I like how we're like,
and,
oh,
and
we
mistakes.
Gotta get, we got to get to bed early. Nah, that didn't happen.
This comes in at 6.5%, and this comes courtesy of Patrick Maxwell, local. He dropped it off at, I want to say it was about 1 in the morning last night.
Yes.
When we were playing game number 1 of Mark 3.
Oh, yeah.
And also one of my top 5 beers of all time, Three Philosophers, he came by with, and I was very grateful. Perfect nightcap there.
Yep.
So, JP.
It smells like a Scotch ale.
Well, that's because it is.
That's the kind of fucking insight we expect from you, JP.
You got it. That's good. That's good.
Doesn't smell like Sarah Jane.
Yeah, too. I don't
know. Whoa. I don't want to know what you know what she smells like, but.
It reminds me a lot of like Founders, but there's not as much of the maltiness as there is in the Founders one. It's good, though.
Adam?
I like the.
We got two.
The bitter aftertaste. And it kind of has a, it's a little deceiving, but like a citrus or a fruity like nose on it.
Well, I'm getting a real smoky peaty finish to
super
it.
Super peat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nope, don't say it.
If they were on a boat, and there's another one named Repeat, and Pete fell out, who's left?
The other guy.
What's his name? Tell me his name.
The guy who's not Pete. There you go.
What's his name?
His name's Repeat.
If there was two guys.
Salty vagina.
So we're going to watch this really smooth transition I have coming. Dan.
Uh-oh.
What do you think of this?
I'm at the point where all I can tell you is that I actually really like it.
Okay. Very good. The mustache is
so
intoxicated.
3/4 of a beer in.
You fucking lightweight.
You shut your whore mouth.
You're a bigger lightweight than Aaron.
I mean,
Aaron
not wrong.
Is.
Oh, no.
Look at the rosy cheeks.
Look at this.
Got
look at this shit, man.
Hey, he's rosy.
Yeah. And the
you're embarrassing Buffalo.
What about
what do you think?
That's
it
not
is?
The only thing I'm embarrassing.
It. It's nice. You know, it's when I went to SmogCon here a couple of years ago, one of the long old time podcasters from back in the day gave me a bottle of scotch. And I'd never really liked scotch, but this was a $50-$60 bottle of scotch he gave me, and it's delightful. And I get a lot of the same the niceness of that out of this. So this is a drink. I prefer something maybe a little sweeter and maltier.
Yeah,
but this is nice.
Yeah.
But it's real nice.
I think this is nice. This would probably go really good with a cigar, I think.
Oh, yes.
I agree with that. I agree with that completely.
Nice
fact,
Drew Estate. Something
in fact,
like that,
I'd be okay
with
a cigar with one of these later on this evening.
Oh, twist my arm.
I smoke when drinking only.
Very good.
And the Adam we actually want to talk to, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you think of the beer?
This is now back for his second appearance on Beer Machine.
Oh, my God. I actually do not remember the first time around.
that was a tough con.
That's a good appearance.
Yeah.
I think
we created an amazing rating scale for beers.
Yes,
and
we
life
did.
In general, a 0 and 1 scale. It's a yes or a no.
He graded beer in binary.
Beer in binary.
Either it's good or it's not. Yeah. And that was it.
Keep it simple and straightforward. Would have again. No, I feel like I'm going to drink this and play around a golf, you know?
Because you Scotch. Little mashy niblick, if you will.
Ooh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a kilt, so we're good to go. I'm not actually. You looked.
I did.
I was hoping I
got excited
leg.
For a second. I was like, oh, really?
Oh, my.
So, Adam does this little thing you may have, I don't know, maybe you've heard of called Broken Egg Games. Makes some quality gaming accessories for a variety of stuff. Of course, most important to me is War Machine and Horde. But I think you've been doing this now for 3 years, 4 years?
God, it's got to be longer than that, actually.
I should know this. I think it's five.
5 years now.
We're going to say five. It's nice. That's a nice round number.
I think it's five because I believe my first year at Gen Con was also your first year, at least with a booth at Gen Con. So that would be five. Because this year's my lost room. So.
All right, perfect.
Hey,
I'm gonna go 5 years.
Stalker, how's it going over there?
He's like,
and then my first time standing outside your house.
Watching you
That was about 3 years ago. So, you know, it adds up.
Let's be real. I'm very skilled. I was in your basement.
Not creepy at all.
They're a little too opaque.
That last time was a hell of a lot of fun. We had Vic and Josh from Beer Thralls on the episode. And, we had Kevin, who organizes Food Machine worldwide. We had, I can't even remember.
Oh,
a ton of people just walking
by. How about
you
just go back and listen to it?
Yeah, go back and listen to it. I don't know what number it was.
Flancer's blurred.
Oh, that's helpful.
There too.
Yes, yeah. Jason did stop by.
The wild Jason Flancer.
He was. He flutters around like a butterfly. And
super active.
Yes.
Jason Flancer talks to you. It's super effective.
Drives up ratings like you wouldn't believe.
Flancer.
So since then...
You have Magic Carp.
Since then, Broken Egg Games has come a long way. Because I believe it was just you guys doing stuff when you had time kind of thing.
Yeah.
At that point. And now it is kind of real deal and officially licensed some of it.
That is true. Officially licensed with Privateer Press.
I'm a fan. I bought a board at that event that I use for my trolls whenever I feel like dusting them off.
So never.
I've got a set of your zones. Those are amazing. The different colors for the different zones and all that kind of stuff. I really enjoy it. I like using them. They're great.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I also have a set of zones. Let's see. I think we got some other stuff coming that just got to Adam's house, I think, right before the con.
Yeah, we actually haven't had a chance to use it, but we just got a box of some fresh zones to use, 2D Terrain, and a resin cottage from Tabletop World, which Broken Egg now distributes for in the U.S. So So those of you who don't want to pay the $80 in shipping, look to Broken Egg to get Tabletop World resin terrain. It's super awesome.
Yeah, and as previously discussed, I apparently stalk you, so...
So, he knows.
You know.
You know.
Dan is right there with Adam when he has those late nights working on the PC. Yeah. Dan's right outside the window.
I just picture, like, I'm working, I'm a little stressed out, you know, I'm just wiping my face out, and I look out, and there he is, and he gives me a wink, and I give him a wink, and I get right back to it.
It's like getting your second wind, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like that
mustache
wind.
Shining in
every
the night.
Every time you get out of the shower, there's just a mustache print.
In the heart. In the heart. You're being thought of.
Wow. So,
wiped into the mirror is, you can do it, kiddo.
You can do it. Chin up today.
Let me tell you, I would lose my shit if I got out of the shower and someone wrote in the mirror, chin up today, kiddo.
It'd be even weirder if it was Dan.
Yeah, maybe. I think I'd rather it be someone that broke into my house.
Well, we have one more morning in the hotel.
So what we went from Mark 2 to Mark 3. And how much of what you had would you even consider like more Mark 2 specific? Was there anything in the Broken Egg line that obsoleted?
Design space
out of existence.
We verbed it.
Yeah, so funnily enough, we weathered that stone pretty well. There's some things where I think you might want to cut back on. You know, obviously every player is different, and that's why we offer so many different like widgets or measuring templates, for example, on what they're going to need or think is specifically important. But one thing that I'm really excited about is we come out with something and this sounds so bad, but we get copied a lot in a good way, I guess you could say.
A flattering way.
Yeah, in a flattering way, right? So, like, you know, we came out with these different things and that different things, and then other people come out with it, and we're like, okay, I think that's a winner, because obviously people see value in it. We got a lot of things in store with our partnership that I really wish we could be unveiling this weekend, mm-hmm. but we can't. So it's going to be coming out in the next month or so that a lot of people are going to get really excited about. I have been living under a rock for like the last month and a half trying to get this ready to go. So I'm super, super excited. I don't know. I guess I could. Nope, I can't.
I just have
somebody get him some more beer.
We'll I just have one follow-up question. Is there some reason why you don't sponsor the Painting with Menoth John show seen on Twitch Sunday nights at 6:30 on twitch.tv?
Just
whore yourself out. Well,
buy my book.
I think the reason might be because we have a bit of a budding relationship with Broken Egg ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but you're taking the focus off of me now. I'm uncomfortable with that.
He's like, bring that back. Bring that back.
Take that, brush heads.
Yes.
No, actually, I would. There's one thing that is really, really big for me is, and we actually hired a person on Z. If you guys don't know him,
yeah,
great guy, and it's his job to handle that kind of stuff because for me, and then I know for Jason. The groundwork type stuff that we get to do with the other players that create that community, that create that excitement, you know, whether it be a podcast or whether it be, you know, hosting Skype sessions or even like a Facebook painting group. That's important to me because as a teacher, or as I should say, an ex-teacher, now retired, left on
I'm looking
sabbatical.
At your hair. There's no goddamn way you retired.
Sabbatical, I guess.
indefinite hiatus.
Indefinite hiatus. That bringing in the next generation is always key. I think we should definitely do some stuff.
I'm just busting your chops, but it'd be super fun to do some stuff together.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do the best goddamn promos ever. Just ask anybody.
His promos are legendary. I know I've been on his show numerous times, and when he starts doing the promo, I have to mute my mic because I'm usually cracking up.
They're okay for the product. They're just a little silly.
I love it. I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Yes.
So
let's see what else. What else do we have?
Adam, do you guys make rec markers?
Do we make rec markers? So
not
funny
anymore.
Story. Yeah,
funny
not
story.
Anymore. Funny story. No, so we actually, the only time we did rec markers is we did a limited release Get Wrecked rec marker.
I saw one of those.
I have that set.
Yeah, so,
I have that set.
So we did it. We brought it to like two or three cons, and it was just for giggles. And so we know we don't do the rec markers. But no, I'm really... We really kind of came out unscathed, and the partnership has been really good for us, and making sure that, you know, we're prepared and good communication with Privateer Press, so that we can facilitate things that they're going to need for entering into the new age. So I'm just really excited to see all the old salts and then the new players all in on this edition. You know, because change is always rough. People,
it's rough on a lot of people, right. And especially, and I'm not trying to call out, but anyone who is like super, super competitive, and you know, my broken ass theme list, and to quote Chain Attack, causes problems. And right. I notice the people who are a little more easier going are a lot better off with this.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of the really, really top-tier players that I've talked to personally are all just re-energized. They're all like, oh, you know, I'm going to...
That's really refreshing to hear, honestly.
How to do this, or I'm going to figure out how to do that.
Yes.
You know, I was sitting with Will Pagani yesterday upstairs, and we're just going over concepts and just so exciting. Now, I'm a Trollbloods player, and I really think so much play space has been opened up.
Would you say design space has been opened up?
Design space has been opened up, yeah.
Boom.
Well, you know, because you look at my favorite caster is Mulg, and so, you know, he's got these really cool attachment rules for some sort of spellcaster or something. But you know, like, I'm pretty sure he didn't lose that in the new edition. But you know, when I first looked at it, I was like, oh man, did I? You know, Mulg, it's crazy. It's different. You know, whatever. And then someone's like, oh. You know, did you know Doomshaper 2 gets Overtake? And I was like, mother of God.
yup.
You know?
Goat like, is for pussies.
Yeah. So, you know, you're just like, he's going to change, you know, potentially what he does for me in that list, but he's going to do it well, you know, and I'm still going to be happy with it. So I love the quote rebalancing. I love the idea of seeing new things played and new things being experienced, so that it it's not stale. It's not stale.
Yeah. Mulg with Overtake is pretty freaking scary. It's
I mean, he literally just take out a wild aggression to Mulg with Overtake. He's just going to kill anything.
Yeah.
He turns into Mark infantry lawnmower.
Yeah, exactly. Mark 3 Mulg is just known as kill all the things.
Yeah. Can we get that bottle down here? Yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm making faces about it.
Yeah, this should be good. I'm not going to read anything. I don't know if JP saw what it is.
Oh, I know what it is.
Oh, dear.
Damn it. All right, I'll read it then. So next up here we have Sour Apple Saison.
Wait,
Belgian.
can we do this like in like a sensual voice?
Oh, well, yeah, there's a request.
That's my job.
Like,
okay, we got volunteers.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it done like, you know, like you're giving me a lotion commercial or, you know, like a hair product commercial.
All right, we can do that. Yeah,
that
sounds good.
That's why we have a GM.
Don't screw this up.
No pressure.
I make no promises. Okay. And here we have the Sour Apple Saison, Belgian style ale, a malt beverage brewed with natural flavors. Part of Epic Brewing's Exponential Series.
Mm-mm. Why does your sensual voice sound like Nash a little bit?
obviously, wait. You did not take the opportunity in that grove to get in his tent with him.
Oh, whoa. You know. Hello, mon ami.
Nash is dead.
I know. I'm sorry. I meant Hitch. I always screw up their names.
I mean, we have someone right here who only has one available hand, just like Nash. I mean,
Sour Apple Saison.
All right, what else we got?
You are holding something special, one of only a few thousand bottles released. Intrigued? Visit www.epicbrewingcompany.com to explore this limited brew's precise details.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
I'm fucking hard.
So we've had a couple of other beers from Epic Brewing. We have a couple of listeners in the Salt Lake area.
Eric Meyer,
Chad Jarman, among a few others. And everything I've had from them has been great. Probably my most interesting favorite one is the ale that had sage, really heavy sage, like drinking and smelling roasted chicken. And it was fantastic.
It's so
good. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. What's this coming at? This is 7.7%. So JP's going to take a drink and get pissed. Not in the British sense either.
Oh,
he's making a good face. Oh,
come on.
JP, I'm with you on this one.
Yeah,
this is a hot bucket of sewage.
Here, I mean, I love it. I got a cup right here if you don't want any more.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's
really
good.
Yeah, the Podfather just rejected booze. That's a sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah, that tastes like... I mean, I'm going to drink it because I'm a man, but...
You won't be after I get done with you.
That escalated quickly.
I know, right?
Yeah, it tastes like apple piss.
Yeah, give me
like
some...
Here, John. I know what you love.
Give me some mouthwash.
Tastes like apple piss. That's what you got.
Yeah, it tastes like caramel apple pee.
I think it... I think what you don't like about it is that it's very hoppy on the finish.
And I don't like that.
It's not super sour, though. It's only a little bit.
It also feels like you're drinking peroxide. Like, it's so bubbly.
Who's drinking peroxide?
You ever drink Florida? Fucking Florida.
Should we talk about this?
I mean,
I'm going to have to refer you to Miles after
there's
the
a dark time in the late 90s.
There's a dark time in the late 90s.
Man.
So since then, the Podfather has switched to Kraken.
Yeah.
And Dan, I believe you have too. Or are you drinking
this? Oh, I have definitely not switched to Kraken.
Oh, you like this?
Oh, no, this is fantastic.
I gave him my
I don't like
sour apple bullshit.
Yeah. I don't like, I tend to not like beers that pretend that they are, you know, wine or cider.
Okay.
Like, fruit beers are fine as long as I don't taste more fruit than beer. I don't know. There's just something about this. Maybe it's more something about me. Hello, previous beers.
Let's talk about that. Let's explore that.
Let's explore that. Let's go for a
couple. How does it make you feel?
How does it make me feel? It makes me feel like I should have more.
Dr. Goldschlager.
Go on. Yes.
Dr. Goldschlager.
Dr. Goldschlager. Checking in.
If that's not your forum name, it needs to be.
And I just psychoanalyze everyone who posts on the forums. How does that make you feel? Do you want to talk about your parents?
Let me tell you about my mother.
John, show us where they touched you.
Oh, God.
Come here, buddy.
On this night errant, please show me where they touched you.
Oh, please do.
I actually really like this. Like you were saying, it's not too sour, but I can definitely taste the apple.
But
I like this. I think, you know what I think this would be really good for is cooking chicken and sauteing chicken in this.
Fuck that. Beers
ten,
for drinking.
$10 like a bottle fucking marinade.
It's like a hot apple fart, dude. It's gross.
Hot apple fart. That's great. I think this marinating chicken, sauteed chicken with some sliced apples, put some goat cheese on it, I think.
So enough strong flavored shit. Pair it with pork.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Yeah, actually, speaking of pork, I would pair it. I would marinate my ribs that I cook, slow cook in these, and then marinate my hickory chips with that as well.
I put my pork in it.
I think we have a plan.
You heard it here first. John would put his pork in it.
Yeah.
There's not much John won't put his pork in.
It's a shallow glass.
You stay away from my cup.
Speaking of pork, we've had some interesting food while we've been here in Seattle. Mm-hmm. We went to Lunchbox Laboratory 2 days ago. And I think it was for lunch also. It was more like dinner. I had a duck pork burger that is just ground up duck and pork.
What's it called? It's called
the Dork.
You believe it or not, it's not actually a whale penis burger like we thought originally.
Hold on, Rich. It's called the Dork. You are what you eat.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
I nailed it. Burger and a beard.
So bad.
Yeah, it is.
I know.
Really good. I've never had anything like that, and I thought that was awesome. It's too bad they couldn't get their shit together with getting us in the door last night.
I was all in on Lunchbox, whatever the fuck it was called, until he decided they didn't want our money.
There's some raging nerds outside going, I'm really hungry. You gotta get us to eat. We're leaving. And we left.
Wait, can you repeat that?
I'm really hungry. You gotta get us to eat. I'm leaving.
I honestly didn't think he was going to repeat it.
He's like that.
So we went to Scotty Brown's?
It was Scotty something's social house.
Slutty Browns.
We've renamed it
more.
The Foxy Browns.
Verification from local Steve. It's called Slutty Browns.
Local Steve. we're gonna call local Steve. Thoughts?
Yeah. Steve, okay. The local.
Local Steve.
And why does it have such a reputation for ill repute?
Hang on, microphone.
Come on, saunter up. Saunter up. You look comfortable, and he is sauntering indeed.
All right,
saunter. He has a glorious beard.
Some of the management staff, local people,
have their own reputation.
Less than reputable.
They like to put out. Like,
so is it like for money, or are they just
giving
it away?
Too early,
shit.
That actually fits in.
Guys. I'm going to go to Scotty.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Aaron's lost leaving. Aaron.
Aaron has left the building.
Aaron's left the building.
I had some good pad thai there, and I had Elysian's Immortal. Awesome IPA, 7-something%. I thought that was great. We had all beers all around, and then dragged our asses back here for the keynotes and the Mark III release.
Nice lead in. That was classic.
I pretend to be a professional sometimes.
I got goosebumps.
I dozed off for a minute and missed it.
He's old. He does that.
So let's go around real quick. Let's talk about what we're most excited for in Mark III so far. Amon Edraza and a shit ton of Jax is straight up legit. It is a real list this time around.
What I do like about it, though, is that as ridiculous as Amon gets in that list, he's still got a chip in a chair. So you were sitting on 20 defense and 14 armor.
Yep.
And I still had a chip in a chair to hit you with Ossian under his feet with Deadeye tossing four dice to hit. Couldn't roll an 11 to save my sorry white ass, but other than that, it was pretty good. I agree. I think that's going to be a hell of a fun list and is going to play the way everybody wished it had played forever.
Yeah, that's the thing. The overboosting thing is amazing with him.
Oh, my God.
Parry is good. Like, he just has a lot of cool tools that were well thought out to put together. So,
yep.
You mean they utilized the design space well?
They did a great thing with the design space and
ka-ching, that's four.
The player experience is really good. And what's the other things I'd say?
I don't know, but I think when I
rebalanced.
If we change programs, because for stuff at work and I uninstall shit like Adobe from someone's computer, I'm going to say, no, I'm giving you more design space.
Next. Five. Nice.
Are we counting these?
Yeah, are now.
Yeah.
I played Gareth for the first time, and Gareth is fucking broken. He is so good. I played him with Imperatus and Moros, because why wouldn't you? A full unit of Invictors, a full unit of Halberdiers, and a couple of mechanics. And I thought going into this that Madrak 2 was completely unkillable in this game. With the change to 3-inch being able to slough off all damages to him, it's like, there's no way I'm going to ever chew through that much beef. I assassinated him, and it was super, super sweet. The changes to tough, I think, are going to be very, very difficult for troll players to wrap their heads around getting a new strategy around it, because it's literally, okay, I'll get you the first time, and you'll tough, but I'm going to get you the second time. And
as a troll player, I actually love the changes of tough. I absolutely hated games where, they would get in on my caster, and that third or fourth tough roll would come around, and you feel bad for them. You see the defeat in their eyes and the frustration, and you're like, yeah, I'm just rolling a dice. You know, you got here. Yeah, so I'm actually really excited for the change.
What kind of War Machine player are you that you feel you're supposed to revel in their anguish and feed on their emotions?
It's so bad.
That's
it's
what this
so
game's
bad.
About.
We're we heard some serious salt last night. John and I were playing.
Oh, my God. I thought there was going to be knife.
We thought there may have been a little confrontation coming. We were playing our first game. I'm playing Cognific Siphon. And
just kicking my dick in.
A little bit. And John is playing... I remember what caster you were playing.
Virus 2.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So it was a great game. Of course, it's 1 a.m. We're struggling to stay awake. We're learning the new rules as we're going. Like, it's a very open, communicative game.
And we're laughing our ass off the whole time.
Yeah, we're laughing. We're having beers. We're having a great time.
Meanwhile, three tables down.
Meanwhile.
Three tables down.
No.
I hear, as we're talking, quote, "I don't mean to get fucking salty, but I'm sick of this shit." And we both just stop and look over. Some people aren't taking it so well.
Yeah.
Newsflash, it's a game.
Change is hard.
Yeah, change is hard.
Like math.
If you trot out a Mark II list into this new meta, guess what? Bad times.
Yeah, it's not
bad times.
Work.
No, I did fine. I lost like usual.
Thanks for that.
Well, John,
I play Signar. I don't even know how to play this game.
Very informational.
We have to clarify something. When he says I did quote unquote fine, it means he did the same as he did before.
Yeah, exactly.
Complete utter shit.
So top of two, he flipped the table and walked away. Yeah.
Let's be honest. Did we even get to top of two when I flipped?
No,
the table?
No, we didn't. So.
No, same thing as always. They charge into the enemy line, and then they thresher seven of my models off the table.
Oh,
rich.
Shitballs.
I'm sorry. They gave something that had Chain Attack Bloodbath. They took it away and gave it Thresher.
Don't feel sorry for what he let you do to him.
Yeah. I didn't place my awesome heavy cav in a perfect horseshoe Thresher-shaped formation.
And then check to see if a large base could fit. For some reason, just let me borrow that real quick. That Broken Egg Games proxy base.
I have met my pimping... competition.
Because here's the truth about it. You can pre-measure that, Dan.
Yeah, I know. Maybe reforming exactly 2 inches away in an arc was the worst choice I could have made. The worst.
Show me on the striker where the bad Brotman touched you.
Hold on, let me go get the horse.
You know, we used to joke about, and I don't remember who said it first, but clumping a bunch of small models together, we'd call it AOE-5 formation. So you could just drop a pie plate on it. Dan has now invented Thresher formation, which is a perfect horseshoe.
Literally.
So we played that game, and then we crashed pretty hard. Couldn't really do it anymore.
No.
And this morning got up and back at it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Came out and played some great games in the Iron Arena.
Mm-hmm. Dude, those boards are so cool. They have
they're
cinematic
amazing.
They're fucking gorgeous, aren't they?
Yeah. Amazing.
I've talked about it a little bit on my show too, which is Painting with Menoth John scenes on Sunday night.
Are we up in
Boston
right
now? Menoth John, 6:30 at night, 6:30 p.m. unless Daenerys Targaryen's boobs are in play, which makes it 6 p.m. And we've talked about how that one of the things that is probably missing from War Machine is a cinematic flair sometimes.
Absolutely. The terrain's so stagnant. I'm so excited about
that. You know what would really kick up it is if we had some terrain from, let's say, Broken Egg Games.
Oh, my God.
And that would really kick it up. But I mean, the cinematic angle, I mean, you look at what Mini Wargaming does, and they do a lot of narrative campaigns and things like that. And that just kind of doesn't happen in this game to the same level. It's more about the steamroller scenarios and the competitive angle. But what we were doing here over the last couple of days is using a lot of these scenario tables to start, like, inventing new scenarios. There was a Morrowind church and, like, a
bridge.
The bridge, yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. Chupa and I were there for the first one, and I may have stacked the cards against him a little bit.
You Kool-Aid man, my fucking
yeah, it
bar.
Was top of two, I ended the game. So
I played a game against Miles on that one. We made up, like, we just kind of went along with it. And yeah. Basically, we're like, you're defending the bridge. If you blow up these 2 points, then it blows up. Everybody on the bridge takes a power of 14. And
yeah,
it was a lot of fun. We just
it's
made it up and went along
with
it.
It's super fun to do that
so
kind of stuff.
A bridge blows up.
Well, it's a drawbridge, and there's gears.
And it blows up, and they only take a POW 14?
Yeah.
I like it.
It's not
that's
very
some diehard shit right
it's not
there.
Very, it's not very high.
Stronger than concrete.
That's like pretty it. Low bridge.
I like it. No, one of my most favorite events I ever did was a local event. They did the Longest Night. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
With Alexia.
Yeah, that was great.
I built the tent, and I brought it in, and I played the event. And so this was actually way back when I'd first met Flanzer, and the store was allowed you to dress up because it was a Halloween event, right? So you could dress up as your favorite Privateer Press character.
Oh.
I dressed as Jason Flanzer. And here's the best part. Another guy dressed as Jason Flanzer.
Well, the big question is, how'd you get your hair under the
door?
Oh,
man, no, yeah, I got the hair sticking up and had the whole nine yards, and I started copying his speech patterns and doing all sorts of funny stuff. It was hilarious. But that set of rules, that scenario rule, was just so much fun. I must have played that thing like 30 times that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was such a good break from the norm. I loved it.
Man, that beats the shit out of my full-sized adult Scooby-Doo outfit I wore for the first night, for Longest Night.
Scooby-Doo, that's great.
It got me the win. I have the medal on one of my rabble bones.
Wait,
bags.
You're not joking,
you're not
are
kidding?
You?
No. I dressed up.
Not only is he not kidding.
Funny story. But the last John Con that I held in Utah before I moved, one of the and I was an achievement based kind of a thing, and one of them was to get your picture taken in the Scooby suit. So I've got all these pictures now on my computer at home of my friends wearing this full sized adult Scooby suit. That shit's gonna pay
have
off.
You heard of, have you heard of furries? You should probably market that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And basically, I'm just like be trolling LinkedIn. So listen, how much money you got, and then we'll talk about what's not going to go up on LinkedIn if you send it to me.
I've never heard of LinkedIn extortion. That's great.
Leave it to the Podfather, bitches.
Yeah. well then.
Yeah.
And John's philosophy, import, export, extort.
Exactly.
Import, export, extort.
Yep.
That's really good. That should go on a shirt.
That's good, actually.
That's good. Yeah.
Trump University.
It's so funny now. It's not going to be funny then.
No.
So we had some great cinematic... Watch this. We had some great
watch
cinematic
this?
Witness me. We had some great cinematic experiences on those tables that these, like, desert, almost like an orange brown with mesas, amazing, breathtaking.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like, you know, I should probably, like, work on my own table.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of that going around.
I have mine set up for, like, precision and... ease of like setting up things on it, not for having fun on.
Yeah,
you know,
Rich's coffee can that he spray painted and wrote in the paintbrush terrain doesn't really.
I did not. Hey, when JP moved up to Buffalo originally, he didn't have any terrain for his table, so he cut out on white pieces of paper these abstract shapes and called them forests. I just said they're rough terrain for spilled milk. That's what they are. So these fantastic cinematic masterpieces set up with bridges and buildings and some gorgeous
the
churches.
City of Caspia, like,
oh man, I
gorgeous.
Yeah, I took a picture, like a very very extreme close up of one of the alleys from the Signar City Board, the one with all the brick buildings and all that. Took a picture of that. You can't even see the background of the convention behind it. The terrain's so dense. And top comment on it, of course, is, oh, man, Seattle's shittier than I thought.
Nice.
But, you know, Archer at PP is the guy, their terrain guy. He's actually doing the classes upstairs. And I love going up and talking to him about stuff because he's so passionate. I mean, he reinvents. I don't know if you guys saw the top tier player table this year.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But, gorgeous. I helped the guys set it up a little bit, and just how it comes apart, you know, for ease of travel and everything, the engineering behind it. I mean, it's really, really awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. It's really cool.
That guy does really, really great work. He's the one who's done most of these tables then, right?
Yeah. I don't want to say 100% sure yes, because I could be quoting wrong, but he's done a lot of them.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, playing on theme tables is the best part.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and on those theme tables, I had a fantastic Mark III game against the new hotness in War Machine, Aaron Gordon Broughton, who is, you may have seen, we talked about the life-size Wrathrock we gave away for charity. Aaron does some great work. So, we're going to swap out Adam for Aaron.
Thanks for coming on, Adam.
Adam, thanks for
absolutely. Thank you.
Broken Egg Games, not
I love you,
John.
Sexy bitches. Yeah. Peace them out.
No. Cool. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
That's right. Broken Egg.
See you outside my house later.
Perfect.
Broken Egg Games, not sponsoring Painting with Benoth John.
Are you going to say they're not sponsors on every episode now?
Could happen. Could
the
happen.
Following companies are not sponsors of my show.
He gets t-shirts made with the not sponsors.
Privateer Press, not a sponsor of the Painting with Benoth John show. All right,
guys.
Have a good one.
All right, take care.
Pleased to meet
Thank
you.
Thank you.
We'd like to welcome Aaron Gordon Broughton to the show. And the reason I know how to spell or pronounce your last name is because it's similar to my last name.
Broughton?
So, Broughton. Yeah. Broughton.
Yeah. Very good. I like that.
Carshule Broughton. What?
Yeah. Yeah, Richard Bratwurst.
Was that was that a Batman?
Fun fact. That wasn't funny. Yeah.
But that was.
That was amazing.
That's a one.
So we have here Iron Fist Brewing Company. From Vista, California, Dark Days, stout aged in rum barrels. This comes in at 14.3%.
Fuck your mother.
Holy shit.
It's a bucket of drunk right there.
I know, man. Who needs Kraken when you can drink beer?
No shit.
As dark as the name implies, Dark Days is one formidable imperial stout. This beer is so dark that not even light can escape its cold, frothy embrace.
Mm.
Same thing my wife says. And it's probably the reason why so many people are caught off guard by how smooth and velvet. I got to edit that out.
In the fact that I know Emily.
Emily, wife, for the win.
So it's no surprise that it has the uncanny ability to turn even the most devout light beer drinker to the dark side. Since we believe that it's not enough to just brew the stuff, we age it in barrels until it reaches the maximum decadence and smoothness.
Hmm.
Can you measure decadence? Is that a thing?
I do it every day. I look down every time I go to the bathroom. There it is, decadence.
Oh!
It's about a half an inch.
Menoth John's junk is named Decadence. I thought you named like swords. Never mind. I guess so. So this is interesting. Let's give this a shot.
I have a talk about. I want to talk about this.
There's a little bit more in here. If anyone else,
I want to have a. Yeah. I want to have a discussion about this beer.
Okay. All right, JP.
I'm afraid of this.
Don't you dare be intimidated by a beer.
Agreed.
It is. Darker than, I mean, it's midnight black.
It like, is serious fucking shit.
If you
right
swirl
here.
This around the cup, it leaves a film on the cup.
Yeah,
like
I
seeing
talk
it's
about
like
this.
motor oil.
It's the first
not
stout.
It is
he's afraid
much
of.
Like motor oil if it's warm.
It's you know it's so much like motor oil. It's like when a 16-year-old girl gets her first car.
Whoa.
First car.
Let me finish.
First car. Not period.
Okay. JB, you're not finishing about a 16-year-old girl.
How? Hold on. How does the richest mind go to the gutter before mine?
I'm trying to prevent legal implications.
No, you're trying to prevent
editing. I'm trying to prevent editing. That's the real thing.
Yeah.
So a 16-year-old girl gets her first car. Her father doesn't get on her about oil changes.
Yep.
And this is 10,000 miles later. She drains
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
This is what it looks like.
Yeah. I'm... So... So the problem with this is the same problem I have with a lot of IPAs.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
The problem I have with this is that IPAs, for the most part these days, have gotten fucking lazy. And it is... IPAs, they say, oh, let's just add some more damn hops to it because, you know,
right.
IPAs are hops and hops are IPAs, so let's add more hops. This is what happens to a stout if you take it to its beyond logical conclusion. This is not enjoyable.
No.
I mean, I like it, but it's definitely the out part of the stout.
I'd say this is, in my opinion, this is barely considered beer.
Yeah,
this is something else. I think.
Can literally feel every cut on my tongue burning because there's so much alcohol in it.
It has an aftertaste of Vegemite.
Sam Adams had a beer come out.
That's actually true.
Sam Adams beer came out about. I want to say it was about 6 years ago, and it was called Triple Bock.
It's got that almost bacterial.
And it was a porter, well, it was a bock, but it was like a porter, aged with maple syrup in these opaque blue bottles, and it was like $10 for one of these things, and you would have that for, I think they said they aged it for like 7 years.
I've got a suspicion of what's gone wrong with this.
Yeah, and you would crack it open, and my wife said she smelled it from across the room, the maple.
Yeah.
And it was like this, except it was a little bit closer to brandy. Now, John has a little insight here because he works the engineering side of food and shit.
Yeah.
So give us your insight here.
So my gut tells me is that Iron Fist or whatever the fuck this brewery is called,
yep.
Fist Up Your Ass Brewing, doesn't have the world's deepest pockets to purchase their rum barrels. And I believe these rum barrels have started to go wrong.
Yeah.
And so what you're getting here is this weird bacteriological background note that
you know
is
what?
While
yeah.
while it's not necessarily deadly because the fucking shit's got to be sterile at 14%, is not necessarily pleasant.
So if you don't want to drink it, clean wounds with it.
And then they burn the shit out of the malt. I mean, what you're tasting here is that they took the malt and they over roasted the living fuck out of it. This is like French.
And that's the nose.
This is like French roast coffee. It was on its way to being on fire before they decided to make it into beer.
Yeah, it's a little rough. It seems like they may have been banking on it being high alcohol percentage because flavors are
It's got fucked. It's got a shock factor sitting at 14%. It's like, oh my fucking god, this has got to be like all this and shit. And then it's like, no, you turned everything up to 11 and it turned into stupid.
If you're a fan, somewhat of this style, there's a beer from, I believe it's out of London, but I'm not positive. John's trying to pawn off the extra on Andrew here. There's a beer I believe from London called Old Engine Oil Engineers Reserve.
Yeah,
and that is, I can see it's like on this idea, but that's a lot more drinkable than this is.
So
this is cool. Like I like it. But it's not. I don't know.
Whoever.
Aaron, did you try it?
Yeah. No. This stuff is like the the $40 bottle of hot sauce you put on chicken wings to tease your friends. You don't actually eat it to enjoy it. You do it for entertainment value.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a moment and say I've seen Andrew like coins, and he will not touch this beer.
Yeah. You know. Whoever donated this beer, it's nothing. It's certainly appreciated the donation and all that kind of stuff, but it's less than pleasant.
Less than pleasant. You know what, though? If we didn't have something negative to say about a beer once in a while, I mean, we'd sound like yes men. So.
Less than pleasant. That sounds like my wife.
If we didn't have something negative to say, we'd end up sounding like that one podcast that spawned Lost Him for Radio so many years ago.
Whoops. Oh. With that, can we slide the mic over to Aaron a little bit there? So, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
I brought some stuff for you.
Oh, shit.
we'll get into that story.
I don't actually know this story very well, so.
No.
Imagine that.
I'm not going to get into the whole story. A few weeks ago, I think it was almost a month ago now, we had a fundraiser in the Guelph area. I can't remember. I think it was technically Guelph. A cystic fibrosis fundraiser organized by Fraser, awesome dude out of that area, and donated to the cause for a raffle. It was a gorgeous Wrathrock life-size, one-to-one made out of wood that Aaron had made. And he's a woodworker by trade. Amazing. Don't let him fool you. You know, he knows what he's doing. I held it there, and I said, "This is really crazy to me." And it's awesome. Of course, I didn't win it, but it was.
Was it based around your wins in games?
No, then I definitely would have won it. I wouldn't have even tried. It was donations. They raised, around $4,000.
$4,111 or so.
Yeah. Great cause, and Christopher Moy, I believe it was, who won it.
Yep.
Cool. Listener of the show, actually, which is kind of nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then I came here. Frazier gave me some stuff to bring.
We posted a picture of him on the page with
it. Yes. Him wearing a Beer Machine shirt holding it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Frazier gave me some stuff to truck here because shipping alcohol across international borders is generally frowned upon. Including a bottle of the wonderful Sortilege we talked about.
Should we talk about that?
No, we won't.
That stuff is amazing.
We won't embarrass him too much, but
I would.
I did hand the bottle to Aaron hotel room, and I said, "This is a thank you from Frazier. Here you go." And he says, "Oh wow, this looks pretty cool." And I had a couple cups, and I said, "Look, man, it's your prize. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if you want any now, here's some cups." And he said. And it was already unclicking, like he was undoing the top, and yeah.
And there it went.
It got a little sloppy after that. So, Aaron, what'd you think of that?
That stuff is so amazing. I'm a person that shares, obviously, with the charity and stuff like that. But I had to take that bottle. I'm like, you got to try this. And I don't know how many people I gave a little shot to, but the response was generally the same as mine in the hotel room was, "Holy shit." This stuff is amazing. Quite verbatim, honestly. Just holy shit.
Yeah, that's the general reaction. When I first gave it to my brother-in-law, he took a shot and he was like, "This shit is trouble." And I was he's like, "You don't even taste the liquor in there." I'm like, "I know." He's like, "Give me another one."
There's liquor in there?
Yeah, it's rather dangerous. You know what's funny, though, is Miles, being from the land it comes from.
That's what's on all boots.
You guys, don't even drink it all that much, do you?
I would have trouble finding it without asking for directions.
Well, I'm sure somebody would nicely and politely tell you.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's hard to find.
I guess not. I mean, it's definitely an enjoyable beverage. Those type of flavors, you can. It's enjoyable, I guess. What can I say?
Yeah, he's from Canada. They have maple flavor, toothpaste, maple flavor, scents.
Didn't Emerson give you like that maple flavored beer or something?
No,
recently?
He gave us maple syrup trying to be
maple
a smart ass.
I'm pretty sure that's the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So apparently there's some kind of reserve select version of it.
What?
Yeah, okay,
why?
Okay.
I actually
posted this on my Facebook, and I said, my Canadian friends have apparently been holding out on me. I didn't know this thing existed. And it's at an LCBO near Toronto, so I got to look up which one.
It might be the one at Davis Rail Station because that one has a ridiculous selection, and it's just down the street from my friends. So, do you want me to?
Oh,
yes,
boy.
Please.
Okay.
Yes, please.
We're adding that to.
Can I be your friend?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought we already were.
Well, we are.
Oh, look at that.
Really
you ruined
special.
It,
well,
John.
What wasn't last night special?
Well, there was that time you put your tongue in my ass, and that was pretty
special.
Whoa! Wow.
Only for real friends.
Milk and honey.
Give us a hug.
So, anyway, with that.
So, Aaron, why don't you tell us a little bit? Obviously, you were talking about the weapons and stuff. What was it that started you doing them, like making them life-size and inspired you to start making them like that?
I'm still on this special edition sort of leash.
Oh, well, he's not going to let that go. Huh?
I mean, my mouth is watering. Kind of glazed over.
Can you make a weapon out of special edition sort of leash?
I will do my best to destroy that shit.
Could we have a hidden bottle corked in it and then inlaid?
Yeah.
So you can constantly refill it.
So the best thing would be and I'm not a troll player, but Borka's weapon. It's the big bowling ball on a stick.
Oh my god!
yeah. So a bottle would fit right in that. You just look up at the sky and have a little shot and go
oh,
nuts.
That's awesome! I love that idea.
Can we make it replaceable so it's like a cask beer?
Yeah, just unscrew the top and, load another one in and
It's like, yeah, it's like slapping another cartridge in.
Yeah. So my question is,
after each bottle, it causes more and more trauma.
Exactly.
What got you started on thinking, you know, this is a pretty badass axe in this game, I'm going to try and make one? What was it?
So I had made Resnik 2 spear into a, 3-foot-tall flag for Emmanuel Klass.
Was that so
play.
That people could find him when
yes,
he was
at
conventions?
So, okay. You know, they'd been nice to me and invited me on podcasts and stuff, you know, mentioned me or something like that, fangirling over, you know, podcasters and such. He had on some one of his podcasts said, you know, I want to build a flag that people can find me at. And the inspiration was, okay, I can do that. That's easy. And I knew he played Menoth, so I started searching through Menoth casters, weapons, and stuff like that. And if you haven't seen Verdict, it is a beautiful weapon. It's just really cool and detailed and awesome. And then that just kept rolling into other projects and then to Wrathrock, which I wanted to originally just build for myself because, you know, I'm so selfish.
And you play trolls, right?
No circle.
I know.
I stole it. But I had quickly realized that building two is just as easy as building one because you do one and the other, and the whole process is just basically hopscotch piggyback.
Cut them off.
And that was me. Had undecided where I was going to give it to. And then Fraser, with Four New Gamers and Trollblood Scrum, was starting to talk about the Battle for Breath. And he had mentioned it being a worldwide raffle, which is, that's my selfish portion, is wanting to make this like as big as possible, you know, reach as much as possible. And contacted him and, I guess, blew him away with the intent to give it to him. He thought I was saying, you know, why did you build two? I sent him a picture and said, I built two, you know, this, you know, I'd like this to go to a great cause. And he's like, that's cool. Where are you going to send it? Type of mentality. I'm like, no, it's for you. And you know, it was cool. So we became fast friends and, you know, we email daily and stuff like that. But not daily.
Long distance, I love budding
long distance bros.
Hey, isn't that how you and Rich started?
Well, yeah. We'll get into that story, but anyway.
That's how it started. We don't want to talk about where it ended.
There was that time at the place with the thing. We'll never forget it.
Yeah, and it was the long dick style.
Long.
Whoa.
But it's been great. And after I finished Wrathrock, I had wanted to rush to get something else done for Lock and Load because I envisioned Wrathrock not being at Lock and Load. Turns out it was, which was great. It was the other one. But I wanted something at Lock and Load, so I jumped into the Phoenix Blades, Thermal Blades from Imperatus and the Phoenix, and finished those in about a month, which was...
They're gorgeous, too.
Yeah.
They're absolutely beautiful. Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
What's awesome is, like, how, you know, if I put that much work into it, no one would touch it. Like, nobody. And I've seen... You just freely, like, yeah, hold them.
Hey, yeah, you just pass it around.
Let everybody have a good time, which is awesome.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. Was kind of the test, too, is how much handling can these things take? Because, you build something strong enough, and these things have been manhandled and touched and swung around. I had a guy, one of the PGs was... He's like, mind if I go over there and swing it? I'm like, all right. Just don't break it. But, you know, he gave it a good swing and, you know, back and forth. What is the guy from Princess Bride? Inigo Montoya. Yeah. So he gave it a couple of good Inigo Montoyas. And, you know, it holds up great. And it's been, you know, set on counters and clinked together. And, I mean, this thing's held up well. I was really proud of him.
As a miniature painter, I was looking at your work and I was like, I was taking tips on how I will do jewel work in future.
Yeah.
Models that I will paint from what you did. No, it's completely honest.
No, I'm not laughing. That's humbling. That's awesome.
No, it was amazing because it gave me such good ideas on how I can show highlights because of how detailed you did the power nodes. I've never really been satisfied with how I've done the power nodes on my Myrmidons and stuff like that. And I know that my next one that I will do will be better because of the awesome work that you did on your swords.
I appreciate that idea. Compliment from the Podfather. That is
usually it's all about me, but this time it's about you.
That's awesome. So, and we usually paint our jewels or I guess Jules Power Nodes.
Whatever they are.
We paint our jewels.
Hair color.
I'm going to change that to we paint our power nodes to look like gems, usually, you know, the little light coming in and out. And these were painted more centrally, like the power's coming from behind the gem and out.
Yeah.
So I actually got compliments from Dallas Camp, Shoshi Bauer, and Matt DiPietro about. Oh, yeah. You know, this is pretty good. You know, I might put a little highlight here and a little highlight there.
They know their way around a paintbrush, those three.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, I'm excited about that, for sure.
Breaking down the con.
Yeah.
I was going to say, geez.
Yeah, banging. We're going to be closing this one down. So, next up, we know you have a Lola.
Lola.
That you're working on as a commission for someone.
Yeah, this is the first commission, and this is the testing grounds, because I don't track how much time I built Wrathrock. Wrathrock was off and on over the course of July to March, basically, March or April.
Right.
Which I know I can build it faster than that because two thermal blades took me a month and a week. You know, it went fast. So Lola, I'm actually tracking, and I've told the commissionee. The store that I'm building it for, I basically told them this thing could be $500. I don't know. So I'm hoping that comes to fruition. But if it doesn't, I'll have another raffle project going.
Awesome.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So do you build these? Do you have like a CNC mill or something like that you're using to build these with? Or are you just doing it all by hand?
This is all by hand.
Man, you are a fucking craftsman.
Yeah, you are. You really are.
I wish I had a CNC, but this is all by hand. Routers following line, pencil lines with a router and... So,
man, I'm in fucking awe.
It's just impressive.
Jeez, dude. Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah. Amazing, beautiful pieces.
If it happens to happen where there's another Lola, I think possibly the Buffalo War Machines Food Machine event would be very grateful to give that away. I'm just saying.
Make it a little harder, Rich.
I know I want to do something for you guys. And whether it's...
Rich is basically saying, do you want to see the top of Rich's head sometime? And then...
How do you feel about mustache rides?
we really appreciate what you do, and it's... I thought I would never see that kind of thing in War Machine, you know? Because, you see things like life-size chain swords and bolters and shit from 40K. You don't really see it in the Iron Kingdom.
Well, you see stuff like thermoplasts and all of that, but you don't see stuff that's more traditional craftsmanship like the wood. And it really lends a weight to it that lets you appreciate it as a finished piece.
Yep. Basically, we're saying we're huge fans of your wood.
Yeah. Huge fans.
You do great work.
Spoken
with
only
your wood.
As Mouth John.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
This has been a spectacular lock and load, so thank you, gentlemen, for...
Oh, no problem, man. Anytime you're in Buffalo or in the at least surrounding area, you let us know.
I've been complimented and white girl wasted by a beer machine.
Okay. Does that do it?
Yeah, I think that does it.
We're done.
Is that it? All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Been a great lock and load.
Yes. Fantastic lock and load.
Thanks. Incredible.
Anyone and everyone that got us here. Like, it's been a great time. Anyone that we met at the con, talked to, anyone that helped get us here, hanging out with John. John has been an incredible help in just everything that we've done. This entire trip has been fan-fucking-tastic.
Well,
I am beside myself with appreciation for everything that we were able to do because of everybody.
Well, I've been pretty candid about the fact that this is more than likely my swan song from the con circuit. I've been doing cons more or less two or three a year since 2010, and it's been fun, but it's time to do some other things with my family, and I've got some younger kids and stuff like that, but I want to thank the Beer Machine guys for allowing me to bring them, help them along a little bit on this one, and...
considerably. Well, thank you, John.
And it's been a lot of fun, and if I had to pick one to go out on it, to share a room with you guys has been smelly but awesome. I'm not going to suck your dick or nothing.
Oh, okay. with that, thank you, gentlemen. Left over, not actually on the microphone, we have Miles and Andrew. Thank you, gentlemen, for sticking here for the whole time.
Yep.
We are going to go
Drink more. If
drink more. Possibly oh, smoke God. Some cigars with Brett Painter and hit up Pike's Brewing.
Deal.
So bye. Take care.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Adios.
And we're recording. So, nice. Pre-ramble for Lock and Load 2016. We are sampling Brett Painter's homemade mead.
Yeah. So, why don't you explain how you did it?
Yeah. Give him the mic, Dan.
We started out with some of the greatest fresh...
bees?
He doesn't know sign language.
He's fine. Don't worry about it. Keep going.
I'm confused. My squinty eyes don't translate.
The corner of your mic was about to fall off. I didn't want it to fall.
I appreciate you. You're the wing beneath my wings.
Let me let you soar.
So we started out with some fresh Amish honey. We boiled
that.
How
did you that. Know that the honey was Amish? Was it like driving a cart or something?
Well, I went to the Amish lady with the creepy black dress and the white haired bun, and she gave me honey.
Super sweet.
Okay.
She gave you honey.
Is that what they're calling it?
They all give me honey.
I thought they didn't believe in that.
And then we boiled it with some water. After we got it to mix in well with the water, we added some dry champagne yeast. Mm-hmm. Let it ferment for about 6 months, and then we bottled it up. And that was about a year ago, so it's aged a little bit.
Wow.
Ooh.
This is my second time around with this. Brett's hooked me up before.
Yeah, I had it on the show.
This stuff is friggin' delicious.
I like to think so.
It smells like wine.
This is look at him just slamming it out of the bottle. What do you think like the percentage is roughly on this?
I don't know, maybe 10.
Maybe 10. Tastes like maybe like 10, 12.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah, the first batch
I'm starting to get a little warm like already.
Yeah. The first batch was about 15 and it was a lot more sweet because we screwed up because the amount of sugar because we added probably like 5 more pounds of honey. It just fermented for like 8 months and it just kept going.
Came out like straight rubbing alcohol?
No, it was actually very, very sweet.
But
because it was so sweet and so alcoholic, you'd take like one glass and you'd be like, oh, I'm getting a headache. So,
holy shit.
I think the bottle you gave me was about 3 months ago you gave me that bottle. And I can even tell a difference between that bottle and this one. This is like more smooth and a little bit... darker, more developed flavor to it almost.
Yeah, it's just so, the aging.
Yes,
it got
really
a couple
good.
Months.
This is fantastic, and I like that it's drier. A lot of, like, I'm not a mead person. I just like it every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But the couple I've had, one was, like, so incredibly sweet, like, you can't drink it, you know? And then I bought one when we were in Ontario last time, and it was, the consistency was, like, twice as thick as this.
Yeah.
And it makes it like unpleasant to drink or anything.
It's like on a way to an ice wine or something like that?
Yeah, more.
Really?
Yeah, it was really odd. So this is wonderful.
It kind of scares me because it tastes so much like wine. And if I'm drinking wine, we all know I'm making out with Rich later.
No, you're not.
It's okay. We don't judge.
Just laugh.
Yeah. So this is wonderful. I think if you're interested, let me know. I will send you some Buffalo beers. If
absolutely.
You're willing to trade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just down in Maryland, so.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Sweet Baby Jesus.
Oh, I love Sweet Baby Jesus. That's good. Dew Claws is my friend.
What's the coconut one? Freak in the Dark?
Dirty Little Freak.
Yeah, Dirty Little Freak.
Okay, I'll check it out.
It's a coconut porter. Oh, it's out of this world.
Ooh, yeah, I'll definitely get that.
It's like drinking an Almond Joy.
Yeah, it's good.
Man, this is awesome. Yeah, I want to keep just drinking this.
So what the hell else are we going to talk about during the pre-ramble? The technical shit actually works.
Yeah, I know, right? First try, huh?
It's like I even cursed the place. Usually I walk up and technology ceases to happen.
You notice how I didn't let you touch anything.
Yeah, hey, that's why I was getting excited when DVK was like, as if I was going to flip the mixer board.
But well, we only have to worry about him flipping the other table.
Exactly.
So pre-ramble story wouldn't be complete without it. John coined our new phrase we've been yelling, I'm coming over, on Thursday. So go ahead.
So driving in Seattle is a little bit of a unique circumstance in that the traffic is somewhat in between the seventh level of hell and not moving at all. And the problem I was having is in Wisconsin, we don't believe in HOV lanes. So I don't, you know, I knew what they were. I'd been to Minnesota, but we don't really have them. So it wasn't dawning on me that there's HOV lanes here because, you know, people give a shit in Washington. So I'm driving along. I'm driving an SUV. Normally in my regular life, I drive a Volkswagen Golf diesel. Okay, so it's like roughly half the size of this thing. And I've got all these jackasses in the car. And Rich, we're on the 405. Best highway in America.
Oh, yeah.
Best highway.
No.
That's one way to describe it.
I am appalled that they have a highway that randomly changes the speed limit whenever they want to. It would drive me crazy.
That's every friggin' highway here.
Oh,
God. And so we're on there, and Rich notices there's an HOV lane, and I've got, like, the whole car full of people. It's like, well, shit, I got to do this. Well, the unfortunate part was there's a young lady in some kind of a car. I don't know what it was. It was smaller than the SUV we were driving. And
Oh yeah! It was like a regular sedan kind of thing. Yeah,
windows were down, and I put my directional signal on. I leaned my head out of the window. I looked her square in the eye. I go, I'm coming over.
the look of fear
on her face.
She was terrified.
She kind of just went from like sitting there in the highway to like jaw dropped. Like, oh my God! Like,
and she just stopped where she was.
And she decelerated, and then I came over.
Dan's in the back of the truck, yelling, "There is no law."
That's true. Well, and that's the thing. Like, she was hanging out in your blind spot. Like, you saw her because you know how to drive. But like, she's just chilling there. You don't do that in New York.
No,
like, that's how you die.
Yeah,
yeah. So I'm coming over, and then we made amazing time. Because here I thought Seattle was this amazing place where like everybody's like, oh, you know, everybody's hippie and cool, and they're going to be all into the carpooling this and carpooling that. Every goddamn car had one person in it. We had the world in our car, and we were like tearing down the road 50 miles an hour on the 405 in rush hour. It was sweet.
So about 15 minutes later, traffic slows down over the bridge, and we're sitting there, and about 2 minutes goes by, and I said, hey, John. He goes, yeah. Now I'm all the way in the back. I said, how long are we going to be on this? You know, how many miles? And he says, looks at his phone. He says, it looks like 8 miles, I think. Something like that. I said, okay, cool. You know there's an HOV lane over there, right? So, yeah. Then
it's like, God damn it.
Take two. We go over there and then zoom down past everyone else.
Meanwhile, yelling, well,
I'm coming over.
I'm coming over.
And then we had to yell every time we switch lanes.
That's right.
Yes.
And every assassination run over the weekend has been, I'm coming over.
I'm coming over.
Happens a lot. Yeah.
It's been pretty funny. This is so nice.
This is amazing.
This is delightful.
Brett,
thank you very much for sharing,
yes,
Brett.
Yes, Brett, you're awesome.
All that shit I was saying about you earlier, I still mean it.
All right. I think probably good for a pre-ramble.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a little positive story, but then again, what is?
Driving here, it is like the Wild West.
Oh, it's crazy talk.
Frontier justice.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time here because of my job, and we were going down to the reserve roastery that's on Capitol Hill. So you can imagine we're coming from out here. We're going down the 405 bridge to get over there. And then you hit the I-5. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's people ask me, they're like, being from St. Louis, so they're like,
yeah.
Oh, well, traffic in St. Louis. I'm like, yeah, that's cute.
That's adorable.
Yeah. Oh, they don't even know, yeah.
Yo, I'm like, your rush hour is like 10 o'clock here.
Yeah.
p.m., I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
Hang on. Doug, get on the mic here for a second. I have a serious question here. Okay. Why the hell is rush hour still happening at 7:45 when we're walking back to the
PM, hotel? Right?
Yeah. What the hell is
because
that?
It started at 3.
Well, here it's not called rush hour. It's just called rush.
Fair enough. All right.
Yeah. Seriously, you go to the airport or something at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's rush hour. I mean, it's nonstop. It's backed up.
I don't understand.
I don't either. I mean, I'm usually at nighttime, I sleep when I'm driving back in the Midwest. But here, it's you have to be touch and go. You can't be texting or anything. You know,
how do people accept the changing speed limit? Like, that was rage-inducing.
They don't. They go 20 miles an hour at all fucking times.
Yeah, that's actually right. At nighttime, the reason there's so much traffic is because people are so used to doing 30 that even when there's an open lane, they're still doing 30 at
oh
nighttime.
Oh, my God.
And they're still right next to each other, blocking all five lanes.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I don't understand this.
It's breathtaking, the traffic here.
It is. It's horrible. I live 10 miles from here, and it's an average of 45 minutes to get to work every day.
Where do you live?
Woodinville.
I feel like maybe Seattle or like whoever the government here is like, listen, there's bad traffic, but look at the view you have while you're stuck in your car.
Well, not for nothing, there's goddamn roads everywhere. But the problem is the thing's built around Lake Washington and there's no good way to get east and west in the town.
Right. That's the problem, is there's so many bottlenecks.
Yeah. It's crazy talk. The 405 is an utter disaster because everybody lives around the 405.
Right. And I also think you get people that come in here that are, you know, full adult and they're learning to drive here. Yeah. Some other companies move over here, and they just don't know how to drive. So they learn here, and they think that when you need to get to your exit, you just make a right turn on the highway and cut across all five lanes.
No.
Yeah, the other thing really cool is if you've ever been on an emerging highway in any state other than Washington, you just get on the ramp and merge. Not here. You stop at the stop lane.
Untrue. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois. Utah.
Oh, okay.
It's
really?
Becoming quite the trend.
You
old school folks out
you see, when you said not true, I thought you meant that just like you shouldn't stop.
Yeah, because that's how we would do it in New York. I'd be like, see that red light doesn't apply.
Yeah, there's no one around. No one cares. Go.
The concept is that it's supposed to meter the traffic onto the thoroughfare so that everything flows. It's a load of shit.
Yeah, and does anybody in Washington know what a zipper is when you're driving? Do they know how to zipper at all?
We don't use those phrases.
Well, in Seattle,
no. There you
go. Explain zipper.
Yeah, well, in Seattle, since, you know, they're all hipsters, they just have buttons. Well, they don't know what a zipper is at all.
Exactly. Okay, so zippering is like just like when you zipper your jacket, one car, next car.
No. You know, it's way too old west for that out there. I'm coming over.
You actually have to fight to do that here. They do not want to share their zipper here.
Well, they do, but just not
in
the car.
I would be in jail.
My girlfriend just looks at him and says, "Yield, bitch." Wow.
Yeah.
You know what, though? The zipper effect does happen in New York when you're in the Tim Hortons drive-thru because you have the one near my house. It has two entrances, and everyone knows you let one person go and then the other person, and if someone cuts in front of you, it's fighting words, and it gets serious real fast.
So, I mean, I've lived in Buffalo. And and I know it's grown a lot since I used to live there, but the fact that your infrastructure was built for a growth that never happened, you guys are spoiled rotten for your infrastructure.
Oh, I know,
out there.
I know. Like, the only traffic congestion is where we have these two highways meet. We call it Blue Water Tower because there's a big blue water tower there.
Yeah,
And that's it. We really don't have anything else that gets bad.
And when we say "quote unquote" traffic, it means it takes 5 minutes longer.
Yeah, we're talking like 5-10 minute delay. That's
it. It slows down from 65 to 45. For 10 minutes, and you're like,
well,
I
mean, you also have to remember that, you know, we have two seasons in Buffalo, snow and construction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least with my job now, it's like my longest commute is 30 seconds, and that's only if the dog gets in my way on the way to the basement, which is super legit.
All right, we're going to do this for real now.
All right.